Well, good afternoon. Thank you all for staying around. It's fun to be with other people who are interested in global health. Today I'm presenting a model I've been working on for a while, Globally Engaged Nursing Education. I call it GENIE. And while I've been taking students to Latin American countries since 98 and most recently have become involved in something in China, what I was asked to talk about today was kind of looking at this model as it would apply to immigrant communities in our local, Indianapolis community. I had been concerned that not all of the students have a chance to go on an international experience, or even most may, at my school. And so I was looking at how to configure something within the curriculum that would move us along towards a global experience, and got really excited and was going to create this course and have some clinical associated with it. And so I started talking to administration. They're just kind of looking at me cross-eyed. They're going, we have, a real challenge, staffing up the current courses and the required curriculum. What are you talking about, adding all this elective stuff? And so the challenge I came away from that experience with is that I would have to figure out something that fit within the existing curriculum. And so decided to take one of the practicum sections of the community health clinical and specifically apply it to local immigrant communities. So I'm going to be talking about that experience. Okay, no disclosures. About 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to be on sabbatical, and so I did a lot of review of the literature in nursing as well as health professions and a little bit broader in the liberal arts to look at what the standards were and what some of the models were for global education, and came away with the sense that there was room for a lot of work in this area. And so it took a while to get to the point where it coalesced enough that I could put a model together. But that paper's is out now online in Nursing Outlook, and will be out in the print this winter. So I'm going to walk us through the model, and then I'm going to kind of apply it to my local section of community nursing. And so the first thing that you all know that you have to do is get real clear on if what you want to do fits within the university mission. And so for me, it was a matter of looking at what some of the standards were for our principles of undergraduate learning, and found that the fifth one, the five, was to understand society and culture, and was defined as the ability of students to recognize their own cultural traditions and to understand and appreciate the diversity of the human experience. And the outcomes the university was specifically looking for is that students would be able to demonstrate the ability to compare and contrast a range of diversity and universality in human history, societies, and lifeways. And so for those of us in nursing, this sounds a lot like Madeline Leininger's theory, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then the second outcome was to analyze and understand the interconnectedness of global and local communities. And the third and final is to operate with civility in a complex world. So that was kind of the university structure I was working under. And then I mentioned a little bit as I was introducing this that I had to fit within the university, the School of Nursing's mission and resources, and balancing out workload and financial resources. And then the third piece of this first phase of the model is that you need to frame the course goals for the specific experience you're wanting to engage the students with. And so for this section, an example of reframing the goal, and for me it was mostly adding in, to tailor it to the immigrant refugee population, but one of the goals would be to assist immigrant refugee individuals, families, communities in meeting identified health needs and maximizing health potential. So we were really working off the same course goals of the community practicum. I just wanted us to be real intentional about working with the immigrant community. And then the second major aspect of the model was to look at a global health core content. And the work I'd been doing internationally, I'd been doing with medical and dental school colleagues and students. And so, you know, every year we would, you know, start doing the orientation before we went anywhere. And so then I was looking at that orientation and looking at what I do with my community students anyway. You know, what do I do to get them ready to go? And so I identified four pieces that I thought were pretty critical. And that was that students have a sense of global learning and competency. And I identified Bernstein's definition of that as a developed appreciation for other cultures and the ability to interact with people from foreign lands. So it's, you know, sometimes, you know, over the years it's felt like we've just kind of took our students and put them into an experience without really understanding the context. And so I was very aware when I was creating this section locally that they really needed to understand the context. And so my first time to try this out, I really let them just focus on the immigrant community within the context of Indianapolis. And I thought, you know, there's something missing here. And so the next time around, they had to do a lot of investigation and look at the demographics and the epidemiology of the people in their country of origin. So they got that sense of connection. Another piece that seemed real relevant was looking at global civic engagement and social consciousness. The campus I'm on has a real big mission in terms of service learning, so it was pretty easy to fit this within that. But I've kind of shaped the definition I used for this course of global civic engagement with local immigrant communities to be defined as a structural academic experience in which the students participate in an organized service activity to address identified needs and learn from direct interactions with cross-cultural dialogue with others. And then the third part is to reflect on the experience in such a way as to gain deeper understanding of the academic issues, health concerns, and immigrant issues locally and globally. So the piece that pretty much defines service learning as opposed to any of our experiential learning, because nursing does that, you know, all the time, is the real intentional reflection part of that, so that they really connect what they were doing in service with academic learning goals, and then really walk away with a deeper understanding of the issue. And then the social consciousness piece, well, that's not always said in international experiences. For me, that's a given. I've engaged in this work because I want to engage my students in caring about people outside of our local communities in the U.S. And so that social consciousness piece is a big part and has been defined as being knowledgeable about global health conditions and accepting responsibility for initiating and supporting action to meet health and social needs. And sometimes, you know that enthusiasm of students, you know, they're going to go on this two-week experience and reduce infant mortality. But, you know, anything we do can be a social action. It doesn't have to be huge. And sometimes it's just our intention is an action. And so along that continuum of what can be defined as an action, you kind of work with the students to say, all right, within this experience and the amount of time we have and the situation, we can, you know, focus on this piece of it. And that really does help them with some of their dissonance about, you know, trying to save the world. And then, of course, the intercultural competence development is a huge piece. And I really like her definition of it as an ongoing process in which a healthcare professional continuously strives to achieve the ability and availability to work effectively within the cultural context of the client. So the idea that it's a process and we're going to engage in this for the rest of our life gives students and myself, you know, a real permission that wherever I'm at right now, it's okay, and I won't be there tomorrow, which is good, but we're moving along in the towards where we want to go. And then, of course, they need country-specific knowledge, and this is where make the connection from the population that's living here with us in Indianapolis to their country of origin. You know, they can use the WHO and the CIA and the World Bank and all of the databases to understand the population better. And it's just amazing how that makes the people they're working with more real to them when they understand the context. I mean, we had a large Burmese population being resettled into Indianapolis. And when the students began to understand that this group had been living in a refugee camp in Thailand for a long time, they you could see the empathy changing when they understood the context from which the people were coming. And then this has been talked about already some today, but I coalesced some of the literature on, you know, really developing the pre-experience. And for those of you who are community health nurses and have set up community health clinicals, you know it takes a lot of effort to establish those relationships with the organizations and the staff and, you know, how things, immerse yourself in the culture. And if you're doing that in several different agencies, you understand the complexity. And then for me, it was developing new relationships with the schools that were receiving the, one example was the Burmese population. And then we found out that we had two different language groups. We had the newer ones that were coming in spoke Karen, and we'd already been establishing a group that spoke Chin. And so it took all of us a while to understand the complexities of that. And then, you know, the whole on-site experience in terms of assigning the students to the different projects, and I'll give a couple of examples. And I better move through. And then the post-experience, it's not only evaluating with the students and understanding what they learn, but evaluating the experience with the agencies to understand how well that fit with what they needed for the students to do and how they felt like the students fit within the organization while they were doing it. One of my big questions when I have worked with students in global situations is, you know, why do they learn something different? They all went on the same trip. I've got 1 minute, 5 minutes. They all went on the same trip, and you wouldn't know it to hear them talk about it after they came home. And the same thing with my local group. It's like, were we all present on the same Wednesdays at the same place? You know, and so Richard Kiley has an article on service learning that just did an outstanding job of helping me understand that. And when I say this, it's going to say, well, of course, you know. But the reason that they seem to have different experiences is because they brought something different to the table to begin with. I took a group to Mexico a year ago last spring break, and one student had done a little bit of national traveling, but clearly had been pretty much, you know, within this, you know, spent her time within the U.S. Another had spent a fair amount of time within the U.S. And the third student had a semester study abroad in Salamanca, Spain. So, of course, they're going to get something different because they're bringing something different. And the way you help them process and personalize and, you know, work with that experience is very different, much like, you know, just here at home. And so I found that in the last time I taught this course, it was, you know, everybody knew it was for the immigrant community, but I had an immigrant student from Nigeria, and she really changed the nature of the whole program because she was sharing her personal experiences and helping to sensitize all of us to the issue. So it was just a really fun experience. And reflection is a big part of service learning, and so we've done a lot of work on my campus with reflection. And part of that, we use a DEAL model where they describe, they analyze the academic learning objective, and then they look to see how they met that goal and how it's changed them. It's really a pretty intentional process. And we use this process in China also. And we're now doing an interdisciplinary program with medicine and dentistry to see if we can develop some commonality, because any of you who have worked in this area know that the research is really limited. And some of the reason I think it's so limited is because we generally have small numbers. And to go anywhere in terms of generalizing our knowledge, we need to have large numbers. So I'm always looking for people who want to partner to develop some good tools and to work with this process. But the personal reflection, I think, is absolutely key. And part of that is because of what I've been learning from Jack Mesro's theory on transformational learning. In that what we're trying to do with students is have a perspective transformation. And he describes this as a process of becoming critically aware of how and why our assumptions have come to constrain the way we perceive, understand, and feel about the world. And then it's about changing the structures of our habitual expectations to make possible a more inclusive, discriminating, and integrating perspective. And finally, making a choice to otherwise acting on those new understandings. So we have to kind of lay that groundwork with some knowledge about similarities, differences, different lifestyles, different ways. And then we have to help students begin to say, well, what are the implications of those differences, those similarities? Is that okay? Under what circumstances is that okay? And how could I integrate that perspective into my own personal self, but also into my practice of nursing? And then that final step, which is always so hard to get at with these types of programs, is, so what difference did this make? Am I a different nurse because of this experience? And what people would really like to learn is, if I'm a different nurse because of this experience, is that making a difference in the health of my patients? And so those are really challenging issues to connect. But that's where the literature would really like to go. And then a final part of my model is that we need to be evaluating our experiences, both at a program level for quality improvement, but also for educational research. And I think this field is really ripe for that area. So just, I may have like 1 or 2 minutes. So my example here, in a health promotion project, we'd been working with the Spanish-speaking community, mainly coming to Indianapolis from Mexico. And so we felt a need for many of the young mothers to understand how to use the primary health care system, because this whole idea of making appointments and waiting and all that was just not something that they had to deal with. So the students were charged with developing a storyboard and shooting the video and creating a DVD. And so over the course of the semester, we did those types of things. And we partnered with the University Media Lab, and one of the staff there helped us with some of the editing, and one of another partner, our public hospital, had a staff person who translated the speaking parts, so that was in Spanish. And so we actually had a young mom with her 2 kids come in and go through the clinic, and we videotaped several different things. And it was really quite a nice project, but it's a huge undertaking, as you can imagine. And then the population assessment. So I kept all these assessments for the students the same, because we were held to the same standards for the course. But this one time in particular, we were working with a school district, and we did an assessment of the Burmese population because they were being so overwhelmed by this new influx of resettled families for resettlement. And the schools were all in, the students were all in school in this one school district, and they were working with the school nurses who were caring for not just the Burmese kids, but the whole student population. So one of the first things they did was a key informant interview, and they had to interview 2 people in each school. So one of them was a school nurse, and then it could have been counselor, a social worker, a principal, a homeroom teacher, and then they use the same. They developed the their structured interview, and then they collected up their information. And then at the end of the semester, they presented that along with their general demographic, community profile data, at a school nurse staff development day, and that then became their public presentation requirement. And they were able to really shed a lot of light in terms of what the school staff thought were issues that needed to be addressed with the children from coming from the Burmese refugees kids. And then my last example is that it occurred to me that nowhere in our curriculum were we intentionally exposing the students to understand the refugee health services within the public health department. So we had an orientation to that system, and then after that orientation, students could go to the clinics where they actually did the processing and the health services. And, you know, if the folks needed to be on TB meds, they helped them with that. But they also then had a chance to go on home visits with the public health nurses and really begin to walk more deeply into understanding the refugee experience. And we have worked with two different of the resettlement organizations, and they both have different perspectives and provide different things for the students. And while I'm not teaching this right now, other of our clinical community faculty have followed on and are doing some really creative work in terms of health fairs with the resettlement organizations. And in conclusion, I think that this model is comprehensive and can be used for international and local global experiences. It's based on current research and literature, and can be useful in all three stages of developing, implementing, evaluating experiences. While I have some measurement tools included in strategies, we continue to look for those. In working with the medical and dental folks right now, they wanted some quantitative tools, and I tend to be more of a qualitative person, so we continue to look at that. But if anyone is interested in joining some kind of a cross-school research effort, I'd be glad to talk with you afterwards. Jack Mesro. Yeah. Richard Kiley, K-I-E-L-Y.
Yeah. And the first model was Bernstein.
He was a former. It's not a model. He was head of international at Pitt, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.